All right, let's open our Bibles, please, to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking on spiritual warfare. This is volume 2, number 10, part 10. It's called Facing the Giants. Facing the Giants. And he says here, starting at verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness," underlying rulers of the darkness, "of this world, against wickedness, of spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Okay. All right, facing the giants. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. In verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, and go over this Jordan upon thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to you them, even," glory to God, "even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From this wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites," say all the land of the Hittites, "and into the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not," what? "Fail thee or forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage." I'll stop right there. Be strong and of good courage. You know, I, some time ago, went to find out about a Navy SEAL. Now, I'm using this Veterans Day as a kind of a theme for tonight. And I was in the military, and I was in combat. And before you go in combat, they train you. They get you ready for it. I remember we had to go to sea survival school in case you had to eject out of a fighter over water. How would you survive? So you had to go to sea survival. Then I had to go to jungle survival, because when I went, the war that was in was Vietnam. And so if you know anything about that country, the foliage is so thick. And you have to learn how to survive. I remember sitting in a class, and the man said to me, he said, "Now these are some of the berries that you can eat if you're on the run. Now these look just like these, but these will kill you." Indeed, I had to open my eyes real wide. I had to say, okay, let me make sure I got the right berries here. But my point to you is that you could lose your life for lack of knowledge. Didn't know you could lose it. And so you went through those schools because those schools were training for you for the time that you're going to be in the actual combat, they got you ready. And basically, church is school. And when you graduate, you're dead. You don't stop learning until you leave here. That's what I meant. That's all your expressions out there, man. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, you're gonna live. But when you stop coming to school, that means you're out of here. It's the only way you can stop coming. And so this school is what they prepared me for. So I went to radar school for the airplane that I was going to fly, and also for operation school, for them giving you similar kinds of situations where you would actually be in combat. And you'd have to do air-to-air training, you have to do air-to-ground training, you had to do all kinds of stuff. So they really made a soldier out of you. And they made you fearless. When you went over there, true enough, there might be some things that you had to buddy up with somebody who'd been over in the theater for a while, and they would teach you what you needed to know, but basically, they tried to give you enough knowledge to take the fear out. And that's what the Bible is designed to do. The Bible says, perfect love casts fear. David said, I sought the Lord, I think it's Psalm chapter 37 and verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I was determined that when I went into the ministry that I would not fear. And what people do is they go around places sometimes trying to avoid the giants. And I'm not saying that you should just look for trouble. Maybe I am saying that, because you're going to put that trouble down. That's what you're going to go in and do. But you got to go out and evangelize. You got to go taste it. You got to go, whatever your fear is, confront that fear. You got to do it. I witnessed on the corner downtown Chicago, right in the middle of town. And it didn't make any difference. I didn't fear what people thought about me. I wasn't looking to make a name for myself. What I was looking to do is that I shared with God that if I go into this thing, I am not going to be like some of the people I saw. I am not going to be some weak trying to give somebody something so they'll like me kind of individual. I'm going to make sure that I'm keeping the standard that God has set for the church. And that's what they do. They fly us in those airplanes, and what they would do, now I'm not saying you have to go out on the block and lift up a Bible and preach. That was my job. But you have to be bold when God calls you to do something. Because he that keeps my commandments is he that loves me. See, you can't say you love Jesus and won't do what he says. And when he says, hey, I want you to tell them, I want you to share with them, I want you so forth, you just got to do it. So then we go and get in that airplane, and every year, even during combat, they have somebody who would sit in your back seat as a pilot. They'd sit in your back seat and they'd grade you. He's called the grading officer. It was called standard evaluation, standardization and evaluation. We called it stand eval. And there would be an officer that was out to rate you and you're flying once a year. Now notice what he was doing. Basically, he was keeping a standard. He was keeping a standard. And I have a scripture here. I sure hope I can find this. I have a scripture here, and it's found in Isaiah 62 and verse 10. Isaiah 62 and verse 10. I just want to make sure that we deal with the fear. Because God doesn't want you to have one ounce of fear about anything. The first thing fear will do is make you make the wrong decision. He says here in verse 10, Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Underline that. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Lift up a standard. Lift up a standard, and that's what he was doing. He was making sure that I didn't drop the standard. Every landing in a fighter base is graded. There's a person out at the end of the runway in a soundproof little all-glass container. And they're watching every airplane that comes in that squadron. And they grade your landings. And if your landings are getting deficient, they'll send that note back to your squadron, to your commander. Now, that's why in the kingdom of God, I don't mind being measured. I asked him, I said, I want to know every person that got saved in this ministry up until now for this year. I want to know how many people got saved, and I want to know their names, I want to know their addresses, so forth and so on. Amen. And they had to work to get that for me. Now, that should be there all the time. But when they finally got it, almost 1,000 people got saved so far. Amen. Wait a minute. Where are they? Lift up a standard. You see, somehow the standard of the church has dropped. Because that wouldn't happen back in the day. Back in the day, I didn't have enough room. Because when people got people saved, they didn't leave them. They made sure they came. They made sure that the people had arrived and so forth and so on. Not so. The standard has dropped. And I'm saying that this church and all of God's people and every church, local church, needs to be measured. God has nothing wrong with measuring. As a matter of fact, over in Matthew chapter 25, he gave one 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. And he came back to measure them. Said, what did you do with what I gave you? One that had 5 double his. Said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rule over many. And then next one, 2. He doubled his. But the one that didn't think that was important buried his and gave it back to the man when he came back. And the man said, you fired. He said, you are slothful. And you are wicked. That's what he called it. Because it didn't measure up. He thought that he could get away with no increase. And that is not God, folks. And we're going to be talking about this. Because sometimes people are looking for a church where they don't have to do nothing but sit. Don't go to that church, because that is not the way where God called you. They need help there. Some people are looking for churches because they want to know what the church can do for them. That is not why you go to the church. You want to know what can you do for that church. And I'm telling you, if you don't know that God has an enormous supply for you. Now, this is what I try to teach, because my job first is to unplug you from a system that's failing. That's my first job, because if I don't unplug you, then the system will put pressure on you to do what it wants you to do. You got a great church and so forth. Now you need to use your faith to believe for a job that you don't have to work on Sunday. But if you haven't learned that, then you'll think Sunday is just, that's the way it is, so forth and so on. No, God wants you. He said, forsake not yourself assembling together with the believers. That was what he said. Why would he give you a job on Sunday and then tell you, forsake not assembling yourself together? That might be some special dispensation, but overall, God wants you to hear fellowship with the believers. Say amen to this. So I'm just saying that I was measured, and God is measuring us, because he said when we get to before Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to judge the work that we've done and reward us for what it is that we've done according to the will of God. Now, this is not trying to provoke you and get mad or anything, but this, I got to come down front with some of this, because I'm being measured. Man, I don't like it when I take time and win all these souls and run over time trying to get the souls in. And then nobody should feel, they want to preach. They want to have their own thing. But what about helping the man of God? This is Veterans Day, isn't it? Yeah. You just want to know. I told you, that's going to be my theme. Okay, so my point to you is I have, when I go through training, I looked up Navy SEALs because I like the Navy SEALs. I like them. I like some tough people. We got too many whiners. And I was never a whiner and couldn't stand them. Go somewhere else and whine, because I don't have time. I can even tell a whine in prayer, you know? But anyway, I shouldn't be saying all this, but maybe that's why the thing went out, so I could just talk to you. Come on, are you with me?
Yes.
See, you got to understand that, wait a minute, if God appoints you to start a lemonade stand, that means that you can have just as much prosperity as I have or anybody else having a lemonade stand. Because you're not building your prosperity off of how long you can work or how high a job you've got. Your prosperity is already decided on. It's been put away for you, and it's so enormous, check it out, that even you can't imagine how big it is. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, I'm not being hard, I'm just being straight. All right, okay, praise God. That's what I like. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
I started, give that man $100. That's it. You'll find him, believe me, he'll let you know. He'll let you know who he is. All right. Okay. Navy SEALs, what are they? All right. One, they are ruthless. They are ruthless. God wants you to be rude to the devil. Rude, just as rude as you can be. Second, very aggressive. They don't wait. Let's go. Lives are in the balance. Let's get the job done. Highly dedicated. Highly dedicated. When I first started, a lady that got me saved with a charismatic Catholic. I think God used her because I didn't want to deal with nothing else that looked, you know. She sneaked me. I mean, before I knew it, I was up in a meeting. Because I didn't want to have anything to do with Christians, because I thought Christians was hypocritical and a whole lot of stuff I didn't want to have to do. Now, I was too strong for that kind of mess. But I saw, finally found out I had the wrong Christian. But anyway, but she took me and got me saved. Got a charismatic Catholic, if you don't know, they speak in tongues. And they usually have their little meetings outside of the sanctuary. They're in the back. And they laid hands on me and cast demons out of me, all kinds of stuff. They crowded around me, just, you know, royal exorcism. That's what they did to me. BW. But she won me to Christ. Don't know where she is today. Have no idea. But her assignment was Bill Winston. Amen. That was her assignment. And let me tell you, I don't mind telling you, I was unsaved, and she looked good, and I was up to something. Y'all know what I mean by that? That means no good. I was up to no good. Now, I tell you, I tried to kind of, you know, she wasn't hearing it. She was holy, and she kept herself that way. And I know my stuff was good. You don't know what I'm saying? That's all right. You just leave it alone. But I'm telling you right now, I had a line, boy. If my best stuff didn't work, I would start crying. But my point to you is, she was highly dedicated. And I'm telling you, you need to look at yourself. Because the way that you measure, it'll be measured back to you. Your commitment to the kingdom will be God's commitment back to you. You ain't going to get any more than you did giving out. She was working in word processing back there, typing proposals for us and so forth, along with a pool of people there at IBM. She didn't want to be seen. But highly dedicated, had a mission. Her mission with me. Watch this. Not to have sex, but to win him to the Lord. And she did it. And look at the number of souls that God has used me to bring into the kingdom. Thousands all over the world because of that one dedication. You wasn't looking to go all over the world and be seen. You wasn't looking to, she had one, just had me in her crosshairs right there. And kind of sneaked up on me. I mean, this wasn't, you know, just next thing I know, I'm up in somewhere, people shouting and praising Jesus. Man, I thought, sure, we were going to go down to by the club first and come on back up by here. I just knew we were going to do that. No. Highly dedicated. And when you are dedicated, the power flows. The power flows. Next, absolutely fearless. Now, this is a big piece right here. Absolutely fearless. You know, it's amazing how even when I was in Vietnam, they had something called mercenaries. I don't know whether you ever heard of that term before. But these are people who are hired. They were probably most of them ex-soldiers, but they were hired to either teach the Allied troops and so forth and so on, but they would go into the absolute worst areas. And they do this, but they get a lot of money for doing it. But they call them mercenaries. But I never saw a mercenary get shot or get killed because they were absolutely fearless. And I believe that had a lot to do with their longevity. They didn't fear anything. And these Navy SEALs, absolutely fearless. And when they're absolutely fearless, the enemy starts fearing them. They'll take a soldier or somebody that they captured and killed, and they'll take his head and cut it off and hang it up in a tree.
Yeah.
They'll act real crazy. And the enemy will say, these boys are crazy. They're, man, don't get caught by them. Now, I'm not saying this so you can say, oh, Lord, now you can't cut somebody's head off. That, you're focusing on the wrong thing. My point to you is when Satan comes to you and threatens you and tells you by some professional that you have this in your breast, and this normally causes you to lose it, and you could lose your life, what is going to be your attitude towards that report? That's what I'm talking about. Can't bow at all. No! He told me by his stripes I'm healed. He told me that. And I'm telling you, the first thing the devil comes with is with a symptom and a suggestion. They come together. It's two demons. And they put something on your body and then talk to you about it at the same time. And that's the first place you got to resist him. Right there. Before I came here, I normally take an hour's nap in the afternoon before I speak on Wednesday night, or wherever I'm going, I usually try to get an hour's nap. And so I woke up and I was coughing. And then I put a tape on. I had a tape, a faith tape, or by Dr. Fred Price put it on. I normally take a shower and I take that time to just listen to that faith. I might have anybody who's teaching faith, I put them on. Sometimes I even put BW on now, just put it on. So. And that tape from 9 o'clock last Sunday is a powerful tape. But anyway, so what happened was I put it on, so I'm still coughing, see? And then I go in there and take a shower, now I'm brushing my teeth and everything. I'm still coughing. And I went back in the room because I go in there and I normally get my clothes and I normally put them on and then I'm ready. So then I go upstairs and study for about an hour and so forth and have everything ready. But I went back in the bedroom, you know, to the closet, and I'm still coughing. I said, wait a minute. This ain't God. This is not God. I said, devil, I bind you in Jesus' name. Now, come out of my body. Within 5 minutes, I can't tell you when, but all the symptoms of coughing left. That was a devil. And he'll set up things along the way. Just when I was coming up here, here's a train. Everything stopped. He knows what time I'm coming. You gotta understand. Wait a minute. Are y'all with me here? So I'm just getting in a habit of treating anything that's frustrating me like it is from the enemy himself. Now, I have authority over him. I tell him what to do. He does not tell me what to do. Can I share something else with you? disease of the spirit is a thing that keeps many people from healing. And the disease of the spirit comes in different forms. Are you ready? Doubt. Fears. Watch this. Sin consciousness. A sense of inferiority. Fear of unworthiness. And a sense of unfitness to stand in the presence of God. Now, what am I telling you? I'm telling you that if you feel inferior to me, you have just opened the door to Satan in your life. You respect me as a pastor, but you are not inferior to me. I don't feel inferior to any man. From the White House to the outhouse. Don't make me nervous. People get so nervous they can't hardly speak. What is that? That's called fear. Get over it. People fear being overlooked. Always want me to see them. That's a fear, and it gets into your spirit, and the spirit of a man which shall sustain his infirmity. Let's find that scripture. It'll cause what the devil put on you to stay there. How we doing? We doing okay? I'm going through all of it. God doesn't want you to worship anybody but him. And he doesn't want you to fear anybody but him. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Glory to God. Where is that scripture?
Proverbs 18 and 14.
The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Now, which one of our speakers preached on this during the conference? Y'all remember? Tudor Bismarck. Faith and spirit. He is saying if your spirit is feeling inferior to another race, then you have got a problem with your faith. If your spirit feels inferior to a leader, you've got some problems. It'll come in and affect you, and the next thing you know, fear is going to be directing your decisions. Yeah. Marry this man because you think you ain't going to find no other one. Now, I'm not reading your mail now. I'm just using examples. Come on. I'm just using examples because faith will get you a man. See, I want to not only teach you how to use faith, I want to teach you how to use faith to produce when you want it to produce. Yeah. Now, I have some money tomorrow at 3:20. That's where we can go, folks. Now, people who don't want to hear things like this are people who have this peace that sometimes you can't take where you want to go. They got to stay back and be in the Red Cross because we got to go and face the giants. God has chosen you to do that. He wouldn't have matched you up with me. David, there are some men that were drawn to David. The Bible gave him three characteristics. They were what? In debt. They were... Look it up, 1 Samuel chapter 22. Tell me what they were, because you the same way. Some of y'all came here in debt. We gonna get you out. See, we in this together. What did it say? First 22. Debt. Discontent. And what? No. There's three of three.
Distress.
That'll preach right there. In debt, discontented, and distress. That's where they came to David. Watch this. Go on down and see how they ended up. Most of them, many of them, ended up billionaires. Because they had the right kind of leadership that didn't drop the standard. You come up, David said, you come up to my level. I'm not coming down to yours. That's what the military told him. You come up to our level. Because if you didn't, they would ground you. You can holler prejudice all you want to, but they still gonna ground. No, it ain't about that. It's about you being able to meet the standard that God has required. And the standards in the church have dropped. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
But we're going to raise it back.
Yes.
Isn't this wonderful?
Yes.
All right, I'm almost done. Y'all with me?
Yes.
So absolutely fearless. Say fearless.
Yes.
All right. Next one. Very bright. Very bright. What does that mean? Very bright. I don't think it means that everybody went to Harvard. I think it means that people, they had an ability to know things instinctively. And I think that's the way God wants you to be. He wants you to be able to feed off of Him. If you go into a situation, He wants you to be able to know what's going on. Very bright. The Bible says that the three Hebrews were 10 times what?
Wise.
They were wiser than the wisest people in the world. Why? Because they weren't getting it from the intellect. They were getting it from God.
Yeah.
And I believe that's where God wants you to be. Very bright. Something comes up, boom, you feeding from God. You're not looking at the situation. You're not getting fearful about it. You're not intimidated by what they think about you, so forth and so on. You're just walking in righteousness. No, you can hear God clearly. Boom. But they just, I believe the Navy SEALs instinctively knew what to do in that jungle. They knew not to go this way. Let's go this way. Very bright. Kind of like Boise. Boise is back. He's getting married now, and he is, amen, and back from Hong Kong. And what were you playing, doing over there?
Scar in the Lion Kings.
Scar in the Lion Kings. He played in the Lion Kings. And stand up, Boise, so they can see who you are. And it's... Amen. Fiance, stand up. Praise God. They're getting married. Okay. But let me just say something. You're gonna take this the right way? Guaranteed, what you are doing right now is nowhere near the ability that God has given you. Guaranteed. What you have accomplished up to this point, watch this, is a joke compared to what you can do. You are very bright. No, when you're depending on that world, trying to look good for people, all these things that the world does, it just snatches all this out of you. You don't even show any of this. So, we're starting a new chapter in your life. This is your hour of manifestation. Glory to God. Now, last one. The Navy SEALs are warriors.
Yes.
Man. Boy, that cuts right through me. They're warriors. Glory to God. Let's go over to Judges, chapter 6. I don't even have a time clock up there. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Maybe that's why it went out. Flow. Here is Israel. Verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them to the hand of the Midianites 7 years. And the hand of the Midianites prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. They're hiding out now. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east even came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed their increase. Lord have mercy, of the earth. Till thou come into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkeys. The world was taking everything Israel had. They'd grow crop and the world would steal it. That's why I had the bank.
Yes.
Folks, if you don't have a bank, you're putting it in somebody else's bank. You put it in somebody else's bank, they're going to use it. And some of them use it for stuff that you do not approve of. Somebody think, I'm trying to start a bank for myself. No, I'm a warrior. Look what it says. Verse 5, and they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for a multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and I drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not what? Disobedience. And there came an angel of the Lord and set her an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained to Joash the Abizurite, and his son Gideon thresh wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with you, thy mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. How many of you know he'll never forsake you? And the Lord looked upon him and said unto him, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I'll be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God used one woman named Esther to save a whole race. Don't tell me God can't use one person. So, my mighty man of valor, you look it up in some translations, he called him a warrior. This man was hiding out, hiding behind things. Don't want people to see him, scared of the enemy. And God called him a warrior. And I'm telling you, I think the way we start out with God without knowledge is we start out really hiding. We're not really being all that we're supposed to be. But God knows how to get you to the front line. He knows how to stir up something inside of you and wake up something that has never been awakened before. And I believe that's a process you are in right now. There's a stirring that's going to start taking place in your heart. Now, I want you to see this, because what Gideon had to do, he had to put some people together. And God gave him a thing, something to do first. He told him to go tear down an altar. And Gideon feared the people, so he tore it down at night. And so forth. And then they woke up the next day, and of course they were mad and wanted to kill him and so forth. And if his father talked him out of it. And so now Gideon now is going to be anointed. The trumpet is going to blow. And now Gideon is going to be anointed. Now he's going to lead an army. Now this is a man who didn't go to college. This is a man that didn't have a rich family. He came from poverty. This is a person who was obscure, hiding behind stuff, lying, signifying, trying to just get what he could. But here's God that gets a hold of him. So I think God can take the worst person and make them the best. I think God can take people who in their minds are counted out. I'm not talking about in the minds of the folks by you. They know you're counted out. I'm talking about in your own mind. You feel weak. You feel like you can't do this. And so forth. I could never talk to people about, don't even say that. Just know that God's going to wake something up inside of you. And when that anointing falls on you, you'll be able to do all things through Christ who has strengthened you. So what did you have him to do? You had him to go get some people. Go get some people, and they're going to follow you. Take this army. So he went and got him and recruited him. He recruited, I think, I want to make sure here. I think he recruited 32,000. Recruited 32,000. What? To fight this battle. What did God come and tell him? You got too many for me. Lord have mercy. What he had to do, he's got that. God said, now I'm going to give you what you should do, and you tell them about it, and those that are fearful are going to leave you. Isn't that something? And he had to get rid of them. Why? Because fear sometimes is contagious. And it's amazing. The Bible even talks in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, it says to watch your associations. Because it's amazing. You will find that usually, I'm just telling you this, usually people come down and are a example of the first, glory to God, people normally are living at the standard of the first closest five people in their lives. One man said this, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Because they gravitate towards people that are accepted. And sometimes they have to come down instead of going up. Now, I'm not saying go home and just shut the door and all your friends hang up on people and so forth. That's not my point. My point to you is know who your friends really are. And understand that, wait a minute, this stuff is contagious here. I got to make sure that I'm not compromising when I hear a compromise statement. I'm not going to give way to that. You with me? Now, what did he do? He got down to 10,000, and then the next thing that happened, God gave him another task to do, and he said, do this. And go to the water, and those that are lapped like a dog, so forth and so on. And he separated them again. Gideon ended up with 300. Now, I want to show you something here. Turn to 2 Kings in chapter 7, please. I'm almost done. 2 Kings chapter 7. Isn't this good?
Yes.
Okay, wait now. I don't have the time. Please give me the time. Quick. 8:28. Okay. All right. Now, look at 2 Kings chapter 7. All right. In 2 Kings chapter 7, interesting here, this is when the prophet made an announcement. He said, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. In other words, it's going to be plenty for you, and you're going to be cheap. Your economic status tomorrow about this same time is going to be totally different than it is right now. Now, that's one of the standards of the church. It should be the supernatural. The supernatural shouldn't be something that we see every now and then. The supernatural should be a lifestyle for the people of God. Every time you come in here, there should be a miracle taking place. Say amen to that. All right, so what happened? He made that announcement. And then here comes a person who worked on the king's staff, and he said, don't tell these people that. If God would open up windows of heaven himself, there's no way that this is going to happen. Well, that person, as you know, ended up dying at the gate when everybody rushed out. All right, let me just finish this. Verse 3. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why are we going to sit here till we die? Now, watch this. If we say we'll enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we'll die there. And if we sit here, we'll die also. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall into the hands of the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we'll live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they arose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come unto the uttermost parts of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. And the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and noise of horses and the noise of great hosts. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us, and the king of the Hittites, the king, that means fear, the king of the Egyptians, and they come upon us. And wherefore they arose and fled at twilight and left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. Now, why did they leave? Fear. All right. Fear will make you run when nobody's chasing you. And I want you to see something here. Over in Deuteronomy, glory to God, come on now. In Deuteronomy chapter, glory to God, Ishandarabahaya, chapter, yeah, just a minute, hold on. Oh man, come on, we're crying out loud. Anyway, God said, I look at Deuteronomy chapter 9, I think it's in there somewhere, but he's going to put the fear on your enemies. Fear is the result of a mind game. Boy, that's good right there. See, because it's false evidence appearing real. It's thinking something in the future and giving it some kind of it's giving it some kind of a power to elevating it to the place where it can harm you. And you got to know that nothing can harm me. You, that's got to be your attitude. Your attitude, believe me, that attitude of fearing something can harm you is rooted in sin consciousness. It is rooted in this sense of inferiority that you got to get rid of. Praise God. God has got you seated with him in heavenly places. Seated means nobody else around the throne sits. Angels bow and they stand. Nobody sits except you. You're the only one that's seated. And you're seated because you are royalty. And the only way something can get to you is that you fear it. When fear comes, faith goes out. And you got to keep yourself from fearing. I don't care. Because we got to go in and take this stuff. Folks, we got to stop what's happening on the south side. Glory to God. Y'all ready? Yeah, here it is. You ready? You and I have control. The Adam's purpose in the earth was dominion. He forfeited it. Now, watch this. God is reinstituting that purpose. Yes. And the purpose for the church is dominion. Yes. Got it? So we are to dominate in this earth. And you and I have dominion over demonic spiritual forces. Do you agree to that?
Yes.
Whoever, oh, this is a big statement, whoever can rule spiritual forces can rule the political system. Whoever can rule spiritual forces can rule political conditions. Because all leadership is spiritual. And I'm telling you, the church is the new government of the earth. And we should be absolutely dominant over the political elements of the world. Governments should be subject to us. So, to wrap this up, I will let you know that this is your season.
Amen.
This is going to be the best Christmas you ever had. That you're not going to need to fight your battles. You're going to be on vacation 365 days a year. God is going to fight your battles for you. And wherever he sends you, don't hesitate, because some of your wealth is there. God got big plans for you, and what you've done so far is a joke compared to what you're about to do. Now give God praise for this. Woo-wee! Isn't that good? You have the characteristic, and even more so, of a Navy SEAL. That God is training you. And his training is designed to reveal any weaknesses that you may have. Not so that you could be condemned, but so that you can be delivered. So, we're going to have a new image inside that you are invincible. Can I just do this? Oh, I wanted to put it up on the board. I don't have it. Somebody, if you will, boy, did you find this? Find Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 in the Message translation. In the Message translation. Let's just read this to wrap it up. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. Yeah. It's okay, you got the microphone. Okay, yes, good.
It says 8 to 10, actually, is together. But you, Israel, are my servant. You're Jacob, my first choice, descendants of my good friend Abraham. I pulled you in from all over the world, called you in from every dark corner of the earth, telling you, you're my servant, serving on my side. I've picked you. I haven't dropped you. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. Keep a firm grip on you. Amen.
Amen. Say this with me, Father.
Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
From this day.
From this day.
No more fear.
No more fear.
No matter what comes.
No matter what comes.
No matter what the conditions.
No matter what the conditions.
No matter what people say.
No matter what people say.
I will not panic.
I will not panic.
I will not fear.
I will not.
Because God is near.
So now,
from this day,
I will rejoice.
This is my season,
and it's my choice.
Never again
to be down under.
But from this day forward, I will show my strength asunder.
The Lord is with me.
To protect me,
and give me victory.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Oh, glory. Well, how was that? Was that okay? Boy, that was from the Lord.
Amen.
I didn't plan to put that together. He talked to me just before I left. But just don't fear anything. Don't fear being too young, too old. Don't fear what's going to happen to you, so forth and so on. No. That Message translation is a good one. He'll keep giving you strength. See, strength. Who would, Caleb said, I'm as strong at 85 as I was at 40. Isn't that something? He renews your strength. If you're here, you need to be born again. This is a good time to do it. I want to pray with you the same the prayer they prayed for me that night up there on the north side and set me free. But if you're here, if you'd like me to pray with you, I'd like to do it right now.